Even though it's only been a little bit over a month, I can see that people are getting restless. People are getting restless and longing for the way things used to be. And the longer this goes, I can see more and more people saying, I remember the good old days. I remember the good old days when they were like this. I remember the good old days when we could go and hang out at the beach. I remember the good old days when we can go and eat together with friends at a restaurant. I remember the good old days when you could go to Costco and not have to line up. I remember the good old days when, and fill in the blank. The funny thing about remembering the good old days is that things usually weren't quite how we remember them. I know there's been global warming and all, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't as cold as my parents make it out to be back when they were my age or when I was younger. Back when they were younger, because they used to tell me they had to walk through 3 feet of snow to get to school both ways, uphill. And I'm pretty sure it hasn't warmed up that much. So I know we remember things a little bit differently than they actually were, but I still see and expect people to be saying, I remember when, I remember the good old days being like this. But I think we remember the good old days a little bit differently than we should. Because the good old days that the Bible talks about are quite different from what I think most of us think of when we think of the good old days. I think most of us probably know the story, that the world we live in now isn't the way God intended things to be. When God created, the world we have now is not what God intended. The world we live in now is like this because of sin. Sin entered and messed up God's original plan for his creation. But I think sometimes we forget that in the way that we live. We seem to think that the way things are, at least the way things were before the pandemic, were the good old days. But the good old days actually go back to when God created. We seem pretty content with the way things were. And why not? We live in one of the wealthiest and safest nations in the world. We breathe some of the cleanest air in the world, drink from some of the cleanest water in the world, have some of the best health care. I think we have it pretty good in Canada. And I think that's why we tend to remember the good old days as being just before the pandemic, rather than thinking the good old days as being right after God created. Things were so comfortable for us, we forget that God's original plan for us was not this. God's original plan for us was not just before the pandemic. God's original plan is revealed to us in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis 1:27, it tells us that we were made in God's image. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. What that means is that we weren't an accident or an afterthought. It wasn't like God created the rest of creation and said, There's no one here for me to talk to and hang out with, so I think I should make someone. I think I should make something that I can hang out with. No, God thought about how to make us and created us, created humanity in God's own image. I don't think that means that God necessarily has arms and legs with graying hair or no hair. I don't think being made in God's image means that we're made in God's physical image. But it does mean that we are modeled after God. That we are not an afterthought. That God thought about how to create us, how to make us in his image as he made each and every one of us. I know this isn't the time or the place to get into a whole big theological discussion of what it means to be made in the image of God. But I do want to point out that being made in the image of God means that we are not mistakes. God took great care in creating each and every one of us the way he wanted us. Sin got in the way and tainted us and tainted this world, that we're not exactly the way God wanted or God intended, but we're still made in the image of God. We are still God's handiwork made in his image. I remember before our daughter was born, I kept saying to Kate, I hope she looks like you, but has my athletic ability. That would be the best case scenario. Looking like Kate with my athletic ability. Worst case scenario, She looks like me and has Kate's athletic ability. After our daughter was born, everybody who saw her said she looked just like me. I took it as a compliment. It's a compliment. She's good looking. She looks like me. Oh, thanks. Apparently not everyone who said it meant it that way. I don't understand that, but apparently they didn't. I remember having a conversation with Kate after one of those times, and after one of those times that someone said, Kristen looks just like me. And Kate said something to the effect that she heard somewhere that firstborn children, especially daughters, tend to look like the father, so that the father will have more of a connection with their child. The thinking being that mothers are more naturally connected with the child, but the father needs more help. I don't know that this is true. I'll leave that to the doctors, Emil, Michael, anyone else. I'll leave it to the doctors to decide. I don't know if it's true or if this is one of Kate's eye test things, where what she has seen and noticed. It could be. But if it's one of her eye test things, they're usually based on very small sample sizes. I don't know. But I can understand the argument. I look at Kristen and I think, wow, she's a good-looking girl. And it makes a stronger connection between her and me. And I think that God made us in God's image, not because God isn't creative and couldn't come up with a better version of us, but because God's original plan for his creation was for the Creator, God, to walk and talk with us, to enjoy his company, to enjoy God, to be in relationship with God, and to recognize and enjoy the connectedness and connection that we have with our Creator. I think that's part of the reason he makes us in his image, so that we can feel that much more connected to our Creator. In fact, we see a glimpse of that connection and that relatedness in of this plan in verse 28. It says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God blessed Adam and Eve, and God spoke with them directly. That's the kind of relationship that we were supposed to have with God. That's what God's original intent was, that we would walk and we would talk with God. Just like we walk and talk with anyone else, that we would be so close to God that we can just turn to him and talk to him at any time, and he would talk right back to us. The plan was for creation to be so close to the Creator that we could talk directly to God and hear God directly talk back to us. But again, sin ruined that relationship. It ruined it to the point that God had to kick Adam and Eve out of Eden. And made it that God would talk to his people through anointed people like Moses and Joshua, and then the high priest. And that's why we need Jesus. Because it's through the work of Jesus dying on the cross, but more so his resurrection than the death, that opened up that communication to God again, so that we can talk directly to God. And sometimes we even hear back directly from God. But it wasn't supposed to be a mediated relationship. It wasn't supposed to be that we need somebody between us. It was supposed to be God with us, beside us, walking and talking with us. That was the original plan. Not only were we supposed to be able to talk to God, but we were also blessed by God and entrusted by God to be God's stewards on earth. Look at the first recorded words that God spoke to humanity in verse 28. Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God originally blessed humanity by entrusting Adam and Eve to help in God's work. They wouldn't be able to create like God did, but they were supposed to help take care of God's creation. They were supposed to multiply and inhabit the earth. They were supposed to subdue it and take care of it, ruling over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. When God first created, God trusted his creation. God trusted Adam and Eve enough to enjoy and to take care of the rest of his creation. That's a pretty high compliment, to think that God trusted his creation to take care of the rest of his creation. He trusted Adam and Eve enough to take care of everything else that God made. I see online ads in Facebook all the time for people, usually younger people, offering their services as a babysitter. And maybe I'm paranoid. I admit it. But I wouldn't trust just anyone with my kids, especially someone offering their services on Facebook. I want to know who this person is that we are leaving our kids with. I want to know that I can trust them. I want to know that I can trust them with the two most precious people in my life. I want to know that they are worthy of taking care and spending time with my kids. God trusted Adam and Eve so much that he was willing to leave them in charge of his creation. I would think that God's standards are so much higher than my standards. Yet God's original plan was to leave Adam and Eve overseeing his creations. And in turn, Adam and Eve's descendants overseeing and taking care of his creation. And again, like everything else, sin ruined that plan too. Sin showed that Adam and Eve were not fit to take care of God's creation. And in turn, Adam and Eve's descendants, including us, we don't seem fit to take care of God's creation either. Rather than caring for God's creation and stewarding God's creation, we are often using and abusing God's creation to get the things that we want with very little or no regard for what that will do to God's creation. And when I say we use and abuse God's creation, I don't just mean nature. We often use and abuse other people as well. Not thinking about them, not thinking about what's best for them, but thinking about what we get out of it, how we can benefit. This has never been more apparent to me than during this pandemic. People hoarding toilet paper, of all things, toilet paper, and sanitizers and masks. People hoarding things like crazy with no regard for anybody else. Add to that the presidents and CEOs who are hiding out in their mansions, making millions of dollars from this crisis, yet they pay their frontline workers minimum wage. Frontline workers who are considered essential workers so that they have to go to work, yet they get paid minimum wage. Frontline workers who put themselves in harm's way every day while the presidents and CEOs sit back and relax in their mansions. We abuse and we use God's creation, whether that's nature, whether that's each other. That wasn't God's intent, but that's what sin has done. God's intent was for us to take care of his creation, to take care of nature, to take care of one another. But sin ruined all of it. And instead of us taking care of creation, we often abuse it. Instead of being stewards over creation, we think we're lords over it and take what we want when we want. We take at the expense of others and over nature. We read the word rule over in verse 28, and we think that that's having power over everything that God has made, power to do what we want with it, rather than how God originally intended for us to rule over with grace and mercy and love the way that God has ruled over us. We're supposed to rule over creation like God has ruled over us. But we've turned our rule over creation into abuse. And we've neglected God's rule over our lives. We've ruined God's plan for creation. We've lost the paradise that God intended when he created us. And maybe that's part of the reason why, when so many of us think of the good old days, we think pre-pandemic. We don't think back to when God created Adam and Eve. We don't think back to when God created creation and what God's plan was originally for all of creation as the good old days. I think most of us tend to think of the good old days as the days pre-pandemic. And we long for the days we can hang out with our friends. We long for the days where we can go wander around the malls We long for the days where we could meet up face to face and go out and eat dinner. We long for the pre-pandemic days and think of that as the good old days. But in reality, we should be longing for the days before the fall. We should be longing for the days before sin entered and ruined our relationship with God. Because when we think back and long for the paradise that we lost, we should be longing for the way things were meant to be in our relationship with God. We should be longing for the way things were meant to be when God created, not the way things were pre-pandemic. But we got so used to the way things were pre-pandemic that I think we still long for those days rather than longing for the way it was supposed to be with creation. Maybe that's why we don't seek God as much as we should. Maybe that's why we don't long for God's kingdom as much as we should. Why we don't work to usher in the kingdom of God, because it would upset everything. If things went back to the way things were originally meant to be, it would flip our lives upside down even more than the coronavirus has. See, as Christians, we should be longing for the good old days before sin, when Adam and Eve walked and talked with God. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden with God, those are the good old days that we should be longing for. When it was our job to take care of creation, meaning nature as well as each other, rather than using and abusing nature and each other. We should be longing for the paradise that was lost. I think throughout history, many have longed for that paradise that was lost. Humanity has been trying to recover the paradise that was lost. And we've tried all sorts of things to try to get back to that paradise. Israelites offered sacrifices to the living God, hoping to get one step closer to the way life was supposed to be. Others, to this day, worship other gods in the hopes to return to paradise, in the hopes that doing certain things will get them in good with their deity. Other religions, every other religion says, you have to do. You have to do these things. You have to not do these things if you want to make it into the afterlife. But this is where Christianity is so different. Christianity says, done. We don't have to do or not do certain things to earn our salvation. Christianity says everything necessary for our salvation has been done by Jesus Christ on the cross. On the cross where he bore our sins, where he bore our shame, where he bore the death that we deserve. But more so on Easter Sunday, when Jesus was resurrected from the dead and conquered sin and death. Paradise was lost with sin. Paradise was lost with humanity's desire to be God. But paradise can be found again through faith in the one who gave up his own life for us, so that we can return to paradise, so that we can be in relationship with God once again. I don't know about you, but I want to long for the days when there is no more pain, when there is no more suffering, when there is no more death, when we are in paradise with our Lord and Savior the way it was meant to be. I don't know about you, but I don't want to settle for this life. I don't want to settle for pre-pandemic days, the madness of rushing around trying to get all of these things done, the madness of going to stores and buying stuff. I don't want to settle for those days. I want to long for the days of pre-sin, the days that God originally intended us when he created. I want to long for the days where I can walk and talk with God in the garden, and know that God is with me every step of the way without a shadow of a doubt. Days when even if something happens that I don't want or don't like, I don't worry because I have such confidence in my Father, that knowing that he is with me every step of the way that I don't doubt. I want to long for those days, not the pre-pandemic days. I can't wait for that day when creation is restored. But until that day, I want to live here on earth as close to that reality as I possibly can. And that's where our relationship with Jesus right now is so important. Our faith in Jesus isn't just about getting us into heaven. Our relationship with Jesus isn't just for later. Our relationship with Jesus gives us a glimpse right now of what is yet to come. A glimpse right now of what it was supposed to be like originally. A glimpse of what it will be like in eternity, where we don't have to worry about sin and death because we've already been forgiven. Where sin and death have already lost their sting. Where we can walk and talk with God and with Jesus because they are right beside us and hear them talk to us. That's why our faith right now is so important, because we can get a glimpse of what eternity should be right now as we go deeper in our relationship with Jesus right now. Especially in this time of pandemic, I want to encourage you, take this time. For all the times that you've said you don't have enough time to do the things you want to do, now we have time. Take the time to deepen your relationship with Jesus, to recapture a glimpse of what paradise was meant to look like. To recapture a glimpse of what eternity will be. Because as we go deeper in our relationship with Jesus now, we get a glimpse of how it was supposed to be and of how it will be in eternity. Paradise may have been lost, and we may be waiting for a return to paradise yet to come. But right here, right now, we can enjoy a taste of what paradise is through our relationship with Jesus Christ. We can enjoy a taste of what life is, knowing that Christ is with us. That we don't have to worry or be anxious. We don't have to worry about sin and death because Christ has already conquered them and overcome them. Maybe you're worried. Maybe you're anxious. Maybe you're scared. Maybe you're bored. Maybe you're not content with this life. Whatever, now is as good a time as any, now that we have so much time on our hands, to get a taste of what paradise will be, to get a glimpse of what paradise was supposed to be. Now, with this time that we have, use it to draw closer to Jesus. Use it to deepen your relationship with Jesus. Jesus didn't come and conquer sin and death just so we can get into heaven. He came and conquered sin and death so that we can have a relationship with him, starting now. Yes, in eternity, that relationship will be even better, but we can have a relationship with him right now and get a taste of what paradise was supposed to look like before it was lost. Yes, it will just be a glimpse, but that glimpse of paradise is so much better than this world without Jesus. Post-pandemic, pre-pandemic, that little glimpse is so much better than this world without Jesus. Maybe you thought that following Jesus was all about getting into heaven. If you did, I want to tell you right now, it's not just that. Eternity is definitely a big part of it. But our relationship begins here on earth. That means we can know the joy of knowing Jesus. The joy of getting a glimpse of what paradise will be like. The joy of knowing that Christ is with us every step of the way. And with so much time on our hands lately, why don't we make the most of that time to draw closer to Jesus? Now that so many distractions have been removed from us, why not use the time that we have to draw closer to Jesus? Not just for eternity, but also for our spiritual and mental well-being right now. I want to encourage you, don't focus on the bad news going on around us. Focus on Jesus during this time. Focus on your relationship with Jesus and enjoy a glimpse of what paradise was meant to be. Enjoy a glimpse of what paradise will be in eternity. Enjoy our Lord and Savior. That's why he came at Easter. That's why he was resurrected at Easter, so that we can enjoy him. so that we can enjoy Him, we can enjoy the Heavenly Father, we can have a relationship with Him. And what better time than now to take that relationship seriously, to go deeper into that relationship. We talk about all this time that we have to do things. What better way to spend time than going deeper in our relationship with Jesus? Let's pray. Lord, these are crazy times. And I know a lot of times we complain. We complain about how things have changed. We complain about the things that we can't do. But Lord, with all this extra time that many of us have found, there's something that's so important that we can do. Help us to do it. Help us to go deeper in our relationship with You. Help us to spend time with You. Help us to spend time in Your Word. Help us to draw closer to You. To not look at the things around us, to not get anxious and nervous and worried about what is going on, but to look at the paradise we have lost, to long for the paradise that is yet to come, and to long to go deeper in relationship with You, Lord. So, Lord, help us to make better use of our time in this difficult time, and to spend that time with You. To spend that time with You and to connect with friends, to connect with brothers and sisters in Christ, and encourage them and be encouraged by them. Lord, help us to make better use of our time now and improve our relationship with You while we can here on earth. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.